Meeting Tom Cruise is a production of the Dan Patrick Podcast Network and iHeartRadio.
I got an email to contact meetingtomcruise.com, and it said, I was driving home today bringing my daughter home from college, and I listened to your bonus episode with Dan Patrick. And per his advice, I am reaching out. Unfortunately, I've never met Tom Cruise, but I am a psychotherapist. And if you ever decide you'd like to have some supportive counseling along your journey, I'm here for you.
I'm sorry, is this an intervention?
Tom Cruise is the greatest movie star of all time. He's the first actor to have six consecutive $100 million grossing films. He's shrouded in mystery, and yet to many is one of the nicest and hardest working people. We love Tom Cruise. We are inspired by Tom Cruise. And while we work in Hollywood, we've never actually met Tom Cruise. So we're going to talk to some people who have. We'll hear some great stories, and maybe, just maybe, one of them one day will lead us to the man himself so that we can have stories of our own. Our own stories of meeting Tom Cruise. Gentlemen, the world's fastest man ran the 100-meter dash in 9.58 seconds, but I'd put an asterisk up there because no one clocked Cruise running down the streets of Boston after he dropped off a dying kidman who just took a buckshot to the stomach. Rumor has it, Cruise actually ran from the streets of Boston all the way to the Oklahoma City territory during production. The man is method. Welcome back, all you princes of Maine, you kings of New England. My name is Jeff Meacham, and like young Joseph Donnelly, I fled the streets of New England to find prosperity out west. With me on this journey to find land is legendary bare knuckle boxer himself, Joel Scrapper Johnstone. Joel, I feel like you would have been a great Joseph had they done like an HBO miniseries
that
of Far Away.
That is the nicest thing you've ever said to me, Jeffrey Meacham.
Doesn't it? I mean,
it
you
was
really...
so nice. I'm gonna give it a pass that you mispronounced asterisk.
Asterisk. That's where I was going. Thank you, Joel.
Is it? What did I say?
Let's forget about it. Let's move
Don't
on.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry
is
about it.
Is there an S at the end of it or not? Question.
There's an S. There's two S's in asterisk.
Asterisks?
None of them at the end
nope,
of it.
Nope.
Asterisks?
Now you just put
there's
three.
More than one.
Yep. We're doing great, guys. We're doing
guys,
great.
Guys, listen. The main point here is that we need to put together a Far and Away miniseries for HBO. Okay.
And also, I need to play Joseph Donnelly.
And you need to be Joseph Connelly, which is not going to happen. So, okay.
To the lane!
That's who you're going to get cast as, by the way. The little boy. wait, Alec, I heard Joel, I forgot. Also with us is the guy who stole Shannon's spoons.
Oh,
he has the warmth of a supervisor in a
there.
Chicken processing plant. He's our producer, Alec Lev. Alec, have you been to Boston before?
Once.
Oh, come on. I mean, have either of you been to Ireland?
No. Remember, we were talking about the Cliffs of Moher. I want to go there, and I will be one of those fools standing in the edge just because I got to look.
Did we talk about that on the podcast?
Yeah.
The Cliffs of Moher? Because I can't deal with that. No railing, 700 feet. They say at least one person dies a month, I think. They average like 12 people a year that fall off those cliffs.
Jeff,
no.
The answer to your question was, yes, we've talked about it on air before.
I know, but that was like, you know, months and months ago. Yeah. So, well, guys, we got ourselves a cruise alert here. We got ourselves a cruise alert that we need to talk about. How do you guys feel about, just a quick opinion, how do you guys feel about Cruise returning his three Golden Globes? In the super Cruise flex, let me just say this before you give your opinion. So, Joel, you look confused. Did you know he did this?
Three? No, I know he did it. Three? I know about two.
Everything he lost at the Oscars, he won at the Golden Globes because the Globes love famous people. So they were like, we don't want to give
sorry,
it to Daniel.
The Globes love white famous people.
White. That's exactly right.
Let's be clear about this.
They love white famous people.
My position is 100% behind Tom. End of story.
Well, how great is his flex, by the way, that no statement. Nothing else. He just returned them. And if someone asks him the question, he's like, yep. Like he's not going to say anything. I love it. Yeah. He's a man of mystery. Alec?
I agree.
Oh, thank you so much, Alec Lev, for your insight.
They don't pay him the big bucks for nothing, folks. I mean, that is some class A feedback there.
Oh, man. The man has an opinion. All right, guys, I was thinking about Cruz this week because we all know how fast Cruz can run, right? We've seen the YouTube clips where people have put together all of Cruz running. And I just mentioned Cruz running at the beginning of this and probably one of my favorite scenes ever, which is where he just books it in far and away in the freezing cold. And next thing you know, he's in the Oklahoma territory.
Fleeing after she gets shot. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He runs all the way to Oklahoma.
He literally just runs straight to Oklahoma. So this is just a fun game. Let's do this.
Okay.
Joel's a runner, by the way, Alec. Let's all take video of the three of us running 1 mile. 1 mile, right? Go to a track. We clock it. Let's do it outdoors, right? Joel's going to win this. But then let's see. Let's take like a month. Come back in 4 episodes and see who's improved their mile the best. Let's get a little friendly competition. What do you say?
No.
Joel?
In.
Great. God, awesome. Yes. Fantastic. Al, come on. You don't want to do this?
Maybe.
So we're going to do this. We're going to do this. We're all going to run. It's going to be very fun. I'm very excited to see Alec in this situation because I love to see Alec in pain. Okay. Also, quickly, a shout out to Alex.
Enough. We've the train Joel and I have up. Let this go long enough. Joel, help.
Ladies and gentlemen, with two reasons we did this podcast. One, we love Tom Cruise.
Well,
two, we have to dissect the brain that is Jeff Meacham and the insanity that gravitates towards his orbit. It's just banana. No matter what happens in Jeff Meacham's life, insanity ensues.
Yes.
A little bit of chaos.
Jeff, share with our listeners the little bit of chaos that was your life 3 weeks ago. I'm going to set the table for everybody.
Okay.
Sure. Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Meacham had a successful audition. Jeff Meacham was cast in a show other than Blackish. He got another job where he had to go and film an episode on the beautiful shores of Mexico.
Yeah. Of Mexico.
That's easy. We're in California. That shouldn't be.
It's right down the street.
Jeff was ready to go. There was one little problem. What was that problem, Jeff Meacham?
What was that problem, Jeff?
Well, similar to the problem I had 10 years ago, my passport was expired. Of course, it's the first question they ask when you are auditioning internationally.
Do you have a valid passport?
Yeah, do you have a valid passport? And my answer, of course, was C.
You didn't speak Spanish.
un poquito.
Selling yourself.
So quickly, my passport was expired. The same exact thing happened to me in 2009. Oh, by the way, I did tell everybody when they were like, I was like, oh my
every
God.
Every time it expires, it happens to. I just.
Every time.
Who could keep track of these things?
They last for 10 years, so it's only been 2 times that I've had a valid passport. Both times it was expired and I needed the valid passport. Anyway, so 2009.
No. Come on, jump ahead, man.
Well,
come
no, on. This no, no, no. Oh, this is this God. Part of the story. If you interrupt, it's going to take longer. First time I had my passport expire, you freak out and you just go to one of the, turns out there's 26 actual physical passport offices in America. And you just walk in and you say, hey, here's my expired passport. Here's my ticket in the next 72 hours to go wherever I'm going. Can you get me a new one? And they're like, yeah, sure. Here's your new passport.
Yeah, except the world's changed a little bit in the last.
A little bit.
Turns out there was a global pandemic, and that doesn't happen anymore. Right. And so now you need to have an appointment at one of these 26 offices. Well, put it this way. If there was 500 people that went to one of these offices a day all through America to get a new passport, now I think they brought it down to maybe 50, even less. So.
And it's weird because you're normally so good at making appointments for everything.
I mean, I'm very good at when crunch time kicks in and I'm freaking the F out.
Nobody beats you at that game. Nobody.
I'm amazing. My wife, Christy's just helping me. I am on it, right? So I'm making phone calls left and right. I am talking to everybody and their mother.
Get an appointment now.
I'm trying to get an appointment and I cannot be done. So finally, I get this woman on the phone. By the way, I went down to the office in LA and stood there and I was like, I'm not leaving. And the guy was like, I don't give a shit. You're not getting in here. Like, seriously, I'm not kidding you. That's how he was. So I left there. So finally, I get this woman on the phone and I say to her, I have to get this passport. This has to be done. And she's like, well, I'll sit here with you on the phone and I'll just keep refreshing And I was like, I'll go anywhere. I don't care. I need to go one of these actual physical offices. Finally. She gives that little pause. Now, I've been on the phone with her for hours. She says, oh, I got one. I got one. I'm going to sign you up for it right now. Because she says, if I don't do it right now, someone else will take it. Sure. I was like, oh, great, great. When is it? She's like, it's 8:30 tomorrow morning. It's about 11 a.m. Tuesday. And she's like, it's 8:30 Wednesday morning.
Oh, probably.
I was like, great. Where is it? You couldn't make up where it was. I couldn't ask you to make up one of the continental.
Okay, let me guess. Bakersfield? Bakersfield.
Because that'd be far. You're in L.A.
Yeah,
Bakersfield.
I'm in L.A. Bakersfield's
okay.
A good
okay,
one. That's
let's
a two
say,
and a half.
Let's say Northern California. Is it in Northern California, Jeff?
That's a trip.
That's a
no,
drive.
No Cal.
That's
that
a drive.
Yeah. People don't know how big the West Coast
is. Is it further than that?
Yeah. It was Vermont. And not just Vermont.
Not just Vermont.
Not
here's the
just
best part.
Vermont.
Here's the best part.
Yeah, yeah. It was St. Albans, Vermont, which is 12 miles from the Canadian border. I am not making this up.
Well, Jeff, there's no way you could have done that. It's 11:30 in the morning now. This is 8:30 tomorrow morning.
Exactly. So what do I say? I say to my wife, okay, well, let's do this. If I'm going to do this, because I know New England well, so I wasn't like scared of where this place was. I was like, great, I'll take a red eye to either Boston or New York and I'll drive there.
Yeah.
Turns out that's not going to work because from New York to St. Albans is a 6.5-hour drive. It's really far. Jeez. So I have to leave now. I was like, I got to leave now. So she books me a ticket, I think, of 3 p.m. The only direct flight at that time that would get me anywhere was into New York, not Boston. We could not get a flight into Boston in time. So I fly from L.A. to Boston, New York. I get in at just shy of midnight.
Jesus.
I rent a car at Hertz. By the way, every moment there's little stories that are happening all over the place.
That'll be a bonus episode.
That'll be a bonus episode. I get the car. The moment I get in that car, which is at midnight, and I have to, and I have 8.5 hours now to make it to Canada.
Sure.
Let's call it Canada.
Yeah.
It starts to pour. Sure. And us LA people, we just don't know rain anymore. We don't know it. It doesn't exist here, but all of us are from or have lived
I'm
in
dying.
The New England area.
I'm dying.
It poured straight through the night, and it was the hardest, most uncomfortable drive I've ever done in my life. I cried multiple times. I cried multiple times just because I was like, what am I doing with my life? And then I would like shift from that to like calling, like poloing Joel, talking to my wife. So by the time I get to Vermont, it's a daylight finally creeps in my body. I have the shakes. I'm so tired. I pull over in one of those truck rest stops. You know which ones I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. The ones where just all the semi trucks are in there, but all the guys are sleeping. I set 9 alarms on my phone because now I'm having the nightmare that I'm going to fall asleep and wake up at like 11:30 a.m.
Of course you are.
And of course. So I sleep for exactly 1 hour.
Were you afraid for a second that the alarm you were setting was Pacific time? Was like it was going to wake you like 3 hours late.
I didn't even think of that.
All the time.
God, that's such a good point.
Yeah.
So, but the whole time, by the way, there's this anxiousness and there's this real fear that I'm going to get there. And all they have to do is just say no or something to that degree.
It's closed. It's the Northeast. There's a nor'easter coming through.
Alex, what did you call it? Alex said to me, he's like, there's a maple festival.
It's maple week.
Or you get there and you're like, no, it's not in Vermont. It's on Vermont Street in downtown LA. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's the federal building right there.
It's right there. So I get there. I walk in. The woman is, I really do have the shakes. I was having to fill out a form, but I was so tired and filled with adrenaline that it was really awkward. I was the farthest they had ever heard of, but it wasn't insane. This is a really crazy time for passports. Someone from Jacksonville had come recently and someone from Arizona had come to St. Albans just like me. I get all the paper. Somehow I got all the correct paperwork. I even went and did my face, the little passport photo in a Walgreens before I left. She said to me, great, it's all set. It'll be ready at 1 p.m. I was like, what if I needed it a whole lot quicker? Because I need to get back to L.A. She was like, let's do it. So I had it by 9:45 in the morning. Wow. I had my passport and I was back in the car. I had to leave St. Albans because Wi-Fi and the interweb, just, you know, signals, they don't work as well up there. So I had to literally leave town and like pull over on the highway and book a flight out of Boston. By the time I got to Boston, my agents are now calling me and being like, hey, you got to leave tomorrow morning. for Mexico. And I was like, what? I thought I have to leave on Friday. They're like, nope, you got to leave tomorrow and you need to get a COVID test immediately. I was like, I'm at Logan Airport. I mean, it was just chaos on top of chaos. I flew back to LA. My family picked me up at 7:30. I had a woman standing at my door giving me a COVID test at 8:30 at night. And by 11:30 the next morning, I was on a flight to Mexico with my new passport. Yeah. And then all that happens. And then I had to spend 3 days quarantining in a hotel room in Mexico. And then after that, I had to get rescued at sea after my kayak sunk.
Whole other episode, buddy.
I had to get rescued at the in the ocean, you guys.
And I'm sorry they found you.
And now, commercials.
Well, as usual, before we get to our guest, we've got the question of the week, and it's going to be asked to us by Alec Lev. Alec, go.
What has been your favorite twist in a Tom Cruise movie?
Love a good twist.
Yeah.
Love a good Usual Suspects twist.
Yeah.
Okay. So I did my research, Joel, and I think the only two movies where there is like a strong twist, and you guys, please take a look at his resume and tell me if I'm wrong, but I think it's the Vanilla Sky twist or the Oblivion twist. Those are the two big ones. And if you're listening and you haven't seen either one of those movies, spoiler alert, we're going to spoil this shit out of these two movies.
If you haven't seen every Tom Cruise movie by now, shame on you.
What are you doing? Yeah. Shame on you.
Why, no one's listening to this.
Yeah. Shame on you for not having.
Okay. What's the answer to my question? Make it quick.
Well, I'm going
to
say,
we had to spend the first 20 minutes with you flying across the country here. So let's
Here we go. So we got the Vanilla Sky twist. Again, spoiler alert, everybody. Okay. Turns out he's been dead the whole time, and there's some company that like is implanting his brain back into the system or some shit like that. See, here's the problem why I'm going to choose Oblivion, because the Vanilla Sky twist still slightly confuses me.
What, you think the Oblivion is totally obvious?
Yeah, no, not obvious, but I think it's so well done.
Okay, let's unpack that. Okay.
I think the problem with the Vanilla Sky one, as I'm watching the movie, I understand it, right?
Right.
And then time passes and it kind of fades out of my head a little bit. I think it was after he falls down in the street. Isn't that the moment where then they take him?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just challenging this
because you're both incredibly wrong. You're leaving out the very best one. So just
we're not wrong. Whoa. We're talking about something else.
You're saying there's another movie.
There's another movie that you're completely missing.
Oh, well, then hold on. Before you get to that, we're not wrong about the things we're saying. I know. I thought he was telling us we were wrong about where the twist happens in Vanilla Sky. Yes, you're right, Alec. I guess it's like that one moment when he woke up in the morning.
It's a good one.
He decides it is good. It is good. But in the Oblivion twist, the whole time you think that they're killing off these aliens that are still on planet Earth and we beat the aliens. But it turns out it's the reverse, that Tom Cruise himself is now an alien that has been cloned by the Tet, as it was called, this giant spaceship in outer space. And they're actually just trying to finish off all the rest of the humans and suck up all the resources on Earth and blah, blah, blah.
I like that one.
I like that one, too.
Right, we're done.
I like Joseph.
This question?
Joseph. No, Alec, stop. Right. This is a fun thing we're doing.
We're enjoying ourselves, Alec. This is good old-fashioned fun.
And I have a different answer, too.
So. I'm happy.
Oh, you know what you are? Those creatures in Oblivion, the drones. You're the drone that just starts firing at us. So I loved it. And Joseph Kaczynski directed Oblivion, who is the director of the new Top Gun.
That's right.
Okay, so you guys are going to blow my mind here. Give me some other twists.
I'll do mine. Mine was The Color of Money. The twist was that after all the movies before that, turns out he can act. Go ahead, Joel.
No!
That's the dumbest answer. Also, I don't like, guess what? I'm going to say it again. I'm now part of the group. I don't like The Color of Money.
Oh,
I don't like
it. Shut off his mic. And I can
That's
do that.
That's insane.
Overrated.
That's insane.
Watch this, everyone. Okay. Watch me cut off Jeff's mic in the editing.
It's over. All right, Joel, go ahead. What about you? What do you got?
You guys have missed the best one.
What?
The first Mission Impossible. John Voight.
Right.
That's the best twist he's been in. That's
right, that he was the bad guy.
Yes.
And what?
First, that he's alive. And then second, that he's the bad guy. That he's
And do you remember how Cruz figured out he was the bad guy?
Yeah, the book from the hotel.
The book. What does he say? Do you remember?
Those damn Gideons.
Those damn Gideons.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay. We've answered it. Wow, we did that one quickly.
Wait.
No, Alec,
Lightning round. Just because this is about Tom Cruise, yes, but it's also for film lovers because we love movies so much. So real quick, okay. Favorite twists of all time, regardless of whether or not Tom Cruise is in the movie.
Guys, come on. Don't do one of those, like, I'm going to give the right answer. Like, what's the one, it doesn't matter, when you saw it, you were like, oh, my God, you freaked out when they got you.
It's not the Sixth Sense. I'll tell you that right now. It's not the fucking Sixth Sense.
My argument about the Sixth Sense is a good twist movie should work almost better the second time.
Yes.
Or at least as well when you put the pieces together.
Which is why my answer is the best.
My first watching of The Sixth Sense was thus really my second because I knew the twist and I was totally bored by it. I was like, oh, they're in the same room. Oh, that's cute.
Alec, for the second time in my life, I completely agree with what you just said.
Good.
I completely
agree. All right, Joel, what's yours?
What is your actual answer?
The Sting.
What the fuck is happening here?
If you tell me you don't like The Sting, I will punch you in your gooch.
If you like old movies, sure, go ahead.
Jeff!
Fuck off. I love it, Joel. What's your answer, Jeff?
Why? Wait!
Because it's good.
Tell me I don't even remember the twist in this thing.
Because as per Alex's rules, it gets better and better every time you are aware of, and there's not just one twist, there's many. Every time you're aware of all the twists, it works better and better and better.
Okay, enough of this. The one that got me the most is the right answer.
Wait! What? I think yours should be last because you're Jeff. Can I do mine?
Yeah, sure, please. Because I'm Jeff, let me just tell you right now, I don't have one answer. I have 14. So go ahead.
It's Fight Club. You can go now.
Fight Club. Fight Club.
I got to tell you, in college, I knew a guy who, it was already his favorite movie before he had seen it. He didn't even read the book. He didn't know about the book. He just knew Brad Pitt, Edward Norton, his two favorite actors. He went out and bought the poster before it was released. It was on his wall, and his roommate, just to fuck with him, right, who had read the book, on his way out to the movie theater, goes, you know they're the same guy, right?
No way, really? That's so mean.
And he was like,
that one gets better and better because both the film tricks that are used in it, but also the story and what's happening with the characters, those all get more interesting.
Fincher doesn't disappoint
when you know the
Fincher
twist.
Never disappoints.
Yeah, that's a good call. That's probably, God, that was such a good one. Okay.
Oh God.
19 again.
Jeff,
I think
has a list look on his face.
Oh man,
here
we go.
List look.
Here we go. First off, let's all just say, come on, let's get the right answer is Usual Suspects. When we all saw that, and when he looked at the wall and he dropped the mug and he said,
Kaiser Sose. The guys like to speak through the gauze. Kaiser Sose.
Oh yeah, that's right. Kaiser.
Kaiser Sose, KS, Kevin Spacey. We got it. Jeff, next, go.
What? I didn't know that.
Yeah, go ahead. Keep going.
That's so good. That's really good. Hey, let's just all remember Planet of the Apes has got a pretty good twist in it.
You are not wrong.
Jesus.
That's a
You're
pretty
not
solid
wrong. Come
twist.
On, he's not wrong. That's
and
good
did you know that
down.
Was not the original ending?
What? They just made it up?
No, they reshot.
They made everything up.
Wait, that's a good point.
They reshot the ending. The writer came in at the end and goes, we gotta reshoot the end. They've been on Earth the whole time. And they were like, oh, fuck. So they came in and redid the Charlton.
Can we put it on the record that Charlton Heston is the worst famous actor that's ever graced the screen? All right, so go with your list. Sorry, Charlton Heston's the worst actor of all time. I'd say it again.
Psycho? Psycho's got
a fan. Oh, that's good.
Psycho twist?
Wait, Jeff, that's an old movie.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Jeff. That came out before 1973.
I know. I made fun. I actually do like some old movies. I just watched Chinatown yesterday. I just watched it yesterday. Half of it on an airplane.
Great.
Here
twist.
We go. Okay. This one got me the most because of where I was in of age. These two movies that I'm going to name, two movies, they both came out very similar times. Primal Fear, that twist with Edward Norton, which, by the way, was his first movie. He's an incredible actor. And then The Game, another Fincher movie, right?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. That twist messed me up.
These are good calls.
Memento, but for me, overall, let me get to it here
this
so we can end
one.
It.
This
last
is it.
One is the movie Dead Again. Did you guys see Dead Again?
Of course, Kenneth Branagh.
Kenneth Branagh. Why am I forgetting her name?
Emma Thompson.
Emma Thompson. That movie, I watched that movie 700 different times. I love it. Again, I think it's part of this 1989 list, or maybe it came out in 1990. But that period of time, again, when I was 10, 11, 12, man, I was just most obsessed with movies. And Dead Again, where they played themselves again in modern era, but they were from the 1940s, and the twist was fantastic.
Oh, I want to see it again. That's good. Guys, I'm gonna one up you all.
You got another one?
Wizard of Oz.
Okay, what? honestly, that came to mind, but what is the big payoff twist?
That she's in a dream the whole time, right?
No, that the Wizard of Oz is not the big scary one, but the quiet man behind the curtain.
I think it's more satisfying that Norman Bates killed his mom and then dressed up in her skin.
All right, everyone. This week on the podcast, I'm going to take a moment to introduce our guest. And I want to start out by bringing us all back to the very special bonus episode that we had where we spoke to Dan Patrick. And if you recall, he had some advice for us.
And then the more I thought about it, I thought, God, why not have a therapist on so you can talk through your issues? And then they can say, you know, what is really at the crux, the core of all of this?
So a few days after that episode landed, I got an email to contact@meetingtomcruise.com. And it said, I was driving home today, bringing my daughter home from college. And I listened to your bonus episode with Dan Patrick, which was, of course, fabulous, just like all the others. It was. And per his advice, I am reaching out. Unfortunately, I've never met Tom Cruise, but I am a psychotherapist. And if you ever decide you'd like to have some supportive counseling along your journey, I'm here for you. I'm a psychotherapist, tremendous Tom Cruise fan. I've been listening to your podcast since day one, and I'm here to support you along the way. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to Karen Rosenberg. She's a psychotherapist from Boca Raton, Florida. She's specializing in grief and trauma, which I guess you should be talking to me and Joel, and we're going through the grief and trauma.
No, that's like right on brand.
Yeah,
right.
We're gonna focus you on Jeff tonight. She's also certified in hypnotherapy, helping people with stress, anxiety, sleep issues, and even pain management. Welcome to Meeting Tom Cruise, Karen. Thank you for giving us your therapist's hour of your time.
My pleasure. So happy to be here. Thank you.
I'm sorry. Is this an intervention?
Well.
Just sit down, Jeff.
Just relax. Down.
I went out and got Arnold Palmer to drink. I come back and what the hell is going on?
Yeah, Jeff, we're just having a family talk. Just sit down on the couch.
And the people can't see the Tom Selleck mustache, but clearly you're having a time right now. It's a tough time.
I got
for
some
Jeff.
Strange herpy on my lip. I got a mustache.
All right. All right. So Karen, I'm gonna go ahead, Karen, and put this in your hands. You're a fan of the show. You know that Jeff is a complete lunatic. And so help us out here. Help Dan Patrick wants us to get some help. We've brought in some help. So Karen, the floor is yours.
Well, thanks. I appreciate the opportunity. And when I was listening to Dan Patrick, I had a lot of care and compassion for all of you guys that are working with Jeff and collaborating all together. So this is support for everybody. And and so I'm here for it. But I guess I want to start with a question. And my question is, there's a difference between like obsessiveness and there's a difference also between like celebrity worship syndrome. So are we obsessing or are we worshiping? And I'm curious what you would think about that. And then I promise you by the end of all this, it will feel good. We'll have good news. So we're going to dive into like the making sure this isn't pathological. And then we're going to get into like the good news for sure.
Okay.
Like Jeff.
I mean, I'm not the patient, but I feel like I have the answer for Jeff. But let's go ahead to you, Alec.
No, this is all Jeff. I have my popcorn. I'm excited. Jeff?
What were the two choices again? Like if I would skin him alive if I saw him or if I would just like say hi?
Can we get the straight jacket, nurse?
My vocabulary is very limited. I don't understand the difference between the two.
Right. So there's something called celebrity worship syndrome. Okay. That's an actual thing that people have, right? So we think of like the, you know, the celebrity worship syndrome. Are we talking stalker? Are we talking, you know, like, you know, every detail, everything. And I've been listening to the podcast throughout and you guys know a lot. That is for sure.
I don't.
Versus like,
I don't.
This isn't about you, Alec.
Look at Jeff's face. The next words out of Jeff's mouth are going to be, I want my cigarettes, Nurse Ratched.
This is a bunch of bullshit already. Keep going. What's going on here? Are you asking me if I met Tom Cruise, would I like defecate in front of him and then run away? Right. Or would I just be happy to meet him? No, I'd be happy to meet him. I might cry. I might cry if I meet him. That's, there's truth in that.
And that's understandable for sure. You know, there's even like, I'll give you a little quiz. And then we can, maybe this will help you kind of figure it out.
Oh, I love a good quiz.
We love quizzes. And Jeff, this is not like a, you have your top five answers, Jeff. It's just a quiz. Give her just the one, just the answer.
Yeah.
So, okay, here's your quiz. Give you a little quiz.
Okay.
My friends and I like to discuss what my favorite celebrity gets up to on the weekend. What is he doing? Yes or no? What do you think he's doing? Do you discuss this? There's like five or seven questions.
No, we don't. I don't care about Tom's personal life in that way.
Okay.
Like, I definitely don't. Like, I don't wake up in the day, you know, in the morning. No, I don't wake up and be like, boy, I hope Tom Cruise is having a good day today. You know what? I hope he got up on the right side of the bed and he's not disappointed with what people are saying about him. So no, I don't think.
But any news you hear about anything that Tom Cruise does or says does interest you.
Yes, that is true. I like, now that I have a Google alert, which by the way, I never knew about Google alerts.
Now that you have a Google alert for the most popular man on the universe, so your phone is constantly buzzing.
Yeah, and it buzzes. And then, so now I'm a little bit more like,
ergo, you were always thinking, what is Tom up to?
No, but I wasn't thinking about what his day-to-day life was like. I wasn't thinking like, I hope he...
Until you set up the legal stalker alert on your phone.
But anybody can do that. Don't you? I bet. Oh, Joel, do you have one on yourself, you fucking narcissist?
I sure do.
There you go.
I look and smile in the mirror every time I see it.
Continue. Next question.
I enjoy watching my favorite celebrity on TV or movies. We know the answer to that one.
That's a dumb question. I don't understand.
That's the question.
That's literally what our podcast is, Karen. Our podcast is about how much we love the movie.
Charlie Cheswick. Settle down, Charlie Cheswick.
I did not write this quiz.
Yeah, of course I love watching his movies. That's oh, like, okay. I love
so why can't God. You just say that?
Sorry.
Yes. Sorry.
Nurse Ratched.
Reading interviews about my favorite celebrity is a lot of fun.
What is reading?
Yeah. Let me translate it for Jeff. Having articles about your favorite celebrity read to you is fun.
I'm not that rich. I don't have someone that reads it to me. I don't have an assistant yet.
Your kid.
As long as they're accompanied by a lot of pictures.
So
a
do
lot
I like pictures. You know what? I will say this. When I was, I don't do it anymore, but I did love to see, like, if his face is on the, if I'm at the grocery store standing in line and he's on the cover of People magazine or something like that, I'm going to pick it up. I'm going to take a read.
Yeah.
You going to kiss it?
In Whole Foods, I would, but not in like a Publix, you know, because.
Sure. Are you going to frame it? Do you take those photos you put? Is there a shrine? This is not a question. This is just a question I have for you. Do you have a setup in your home with photos?
I definitely did in college. I did. And behind where in my bathroom, behind my toilet bowl sitting on top is a book about Tom Cruise. But that's a single picture. And in college, I had a collage of pictures of my favorite like artists and stuff like that. And like I said, there was a Tom Cruise poster and an Alyssa Milano poster. So sort of, yes, but not a shrine.
But not a shrine.
Not like Jobu I'm not praying to him. It's not.
Okay, I feel better knowing that.
We'll be right back.
When something bad happens to my favorite celebrity, I feel like it happened to me.
I did get mad when I saw negative reviews about when he had his COVID rant and people were talking. If there was anybody negatively speaking about him, I did definitely get a little, I was a little frustrated with those people. I would catch myself being like, yeah, well, do you know what kind of pressure he's under? So
you
a little bit
him.
Again, everything's at a 50% here.
So that's a hard yes. That's a hard yes.
That's not a hard yes, definitely. Joel.
Okay. I put yes. Don't worry. I have a special bond with my celebrity.
No. So. No. See, this is where I draw the line. No, there's no bond here.
Okay.
I don't think if I – I don't think that we're friends.
Yet.
That's true. That's true. And any celebrities that I've met before, that, you know, I mean, I've met myself.
Jesus.
Yeah, I don't.
And how was all that? Right.
So that question being, I'm destined to be with my favorite celebrity. So meeting Tom Cruise, being that it is, you could interpret that however you want. But I'm destined to be with.
There's only one way to interpret that. The answer is yes.
Yeah. No, because I live in a constant state of fear that I won't meet him. So,
Jeff, you invented a podcast. You came to this idea 10 years ago and said, we're going to meet Tom Cruise. Let's have a podcast.
I know, but I'm so desperate to meet him, but I'm so worried that I won't, that I was like, let's create a podcast so we can definitely meet him. But now I'm just in a perpetual state of fear that I won't meet him. So now I'm actually fearful that it's not going to happen. Like I'm staying in this friend's house right now. They really love God. And they have a thing up on their they had a thing about faith, and they just said faith is the belief that something will like absolutely happen. And I was like, do I have faith that I'll meet Tom Cruise? And I was like trying to convince myself, and then I was like, would God allow me to make this happen? You know, but then I was like, I don't believe in him. So then now I'm freaking out. So now I'm worried that if God is real, but I don't believe in him, he's not going to allow me to meet Tom Cruise. So now I'm thinking up a taking God.
Whoa. Okay, that will be a different conversation, but I think I could help manage your anxiety. That's what I'm sensing now. We'll finish a quiz, but I think it's about managing your stress and anxiety, which I could help guide you.
Hence why I've got this cold sore on my lip, Karen. Look at this anxiety that I'm dealing with.
Yes,
away from the camera.
I see it. It's very big. I'm sorry.
People can't see it, and we have three listeners left.
So,
okay. Right. My favorite celebrity would come to my immediate rescue if I asked for any help.
No, that sounds bananas. What are you talking about? Again, no, that's nuts. That's straitjacket talk.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, no. I would say if anything, Jeff wants to be the one to help him.
Yeah. Like oh, my God. I do have dreams that Tom Cruise would one day like get into a car accident in front of me and he's trapped in his car and I'm the one that's like, give me the jaws of life, and I cut him out of the car. Like, that's my kind of dream. Then I can save his life.
I feel it like you just walked yourself right into a hole there, big guy.
So the good news is, according to the quiz, it's moderate level. You're not high, you're not low, you're right in the middle.
Oh, come on.
That seems
come
right.
on.
Now, wait a minute. Right in the middle of what? Between the two things?
It's a very scientific quiz.
Come on. I was hoping there was going to be a team that would escort him off his property.
This is up there with the same kind of quiz of like, which Marvel superhero am I? You know, so
I thought they were going to send the E.T. hazmat guys to his house with the fucking tunnel and shit.
E.T. hazmat. No. Oh, that scene was so sad. Oh,
I know it was. Yes.
So this is interesting. If his problem, which he clearly has one, is not his obsession with Tom Cruise, why is he the way he is?
So that's the question. The follow-up questions I would have is, I'm wondering, does this impact your interpersonal relationships with your family, with your friends, your functionality? Has it impacted how you're functioning in life? And I've watched your shows, both of your shows. You know, I've seen all your shows. I think career-wise, you're doing all right.
Yeah.
So I'm not too worried about functionality career-wise.
Deal.
So yay you. That's awesome.
Thank you.
But outside of
Hold on.
We're right in the middle of getting to something here.
Yes, but as the person whose job it is to get you to do things, your functionality is somewhere between a zero and a zero.
But what about the fact that I like to torture Alec Leff? See, that you didn't equate that.
I enjoy that too.
Joel,
I enjoy
like
that.
A nine.
It's kind of
that's
fun like to watch nine. Alec freak out. Doug can agree with that. Yeah. We can all agree. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, like you guys joke that I'm the like neurotic, anxious one, but it's really out.
You're right. I am anxious. Let's see. It's Friday. This episode has to appear on Tuesday, and we're recording it right now. I wonder why I get anxious sometimes.
What's your point?
Joel doesn't get it.
It happened.
So wait, Karen, are you asking me? Are you asking me if my obsession for Cruise affects my personal relationships with other people?
Yes, in life, right. Exactly.
Well, it's a great conversation starter. People ask me about this all the time.
Yeah.
But I don't think. I do think about the podcast a lot. I don't think about Tom Cruise a lot. Does that make sense?
It does.
It just doesn't make sense to me that you think about the fucking podcast a lot. I have to remind you that it exists every goddamn... Jeff, our text streams are just blue along one side. Jeff, question mark. Jeff. Hi, Jeff.
Yep. Karen, can we analyze this for a second? Alec is one of those people. There's two types of people in this world. There's people that send a text message, and then there's people like Alec that instead of hitting a period, they hit return, and they send seven text messages.
So this is a text message from Alec, Karen. I have sent a guest that I would like to book. Send.
But it's only because poor Alec feels like he's being tortured. You know what I mean? So,
I could say, I could say, Joel ignored 15 of my texts today.
Is it okay that he's...
That's frustrating. Oh my gosh.
No, I don't think it affects my... I mean, besides the fact that in positive manner, I'm pretty sure I married my wife because I know she met Tom Cruise. So, you know, and we have a fairly healthy relationship. Yeah, I heard
that
episode.
That was cool. So it's actually, it has helped you, this obsession and this passion, which is going to be the good news that I want to get into for sure, that sometimes it isn't just what we're obsessed about. There's a passion that gives us really positive things throughout our life. So as much as to maybe Alec and Joel's disappointment, I'm celebrating the passion that you have.
Okay.
I think it's great to have passion in life, because without it, how dull and how boring. You have to, you know, stand behind what you believe.
I like you, Karen, with a Y.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm so disappointed.
Joel, you said she was going to be good.
I agree.
Well, guys, I'm going to leave.
She's got it all. Keep going, Karen. Ignore them. Just keep going. I thought I was going to be crying at least at this point in the pod. So I feel like we got a win going here. Keep going.
I was hoping there'd be a paddy wagon out in front of your property by now.
Passion is important for success. And I think it is. I think that's the thing. You know, when you look at people that have really achieved and like do and feel super connected to and excited about, it's through passion. And I mean, honestly, I come from a positive perspective. I really do. Yeah. And I know. Much to the disappointment.
But this is great.
So, yeah.
No one's disappointed.
I am.
No. Yeah. And that's okay, Karen. But listen, this podcast is about me meeting Tom Cruise, not Alec meeting Tom Cruise, not this other producer. All these people, they want to see me fall apart. Even Dan Patrick wants to see me fall apart. And I'm not going to do it, Karen.
No.
I'm going to follow your advice. I'm going to stay positive.
Yep.
And someday I'm going to meet Tom Cruise in space.
You are. And if you are feeling anxious or worried about all of that, and, you know, let's not perpetuate some things because you're afraid or feel fearful of what's going to happen. How are you managing your anxiety? What do you do? Let's talk about that. How do you cope with the fear of that possibly happening and what you're going to do?
I eat too much food. I like to shove food into my mouth to then manage the anxiety that I feel. But then I think I'm getting fat. So then I like to work out too hard and then I pull a muscle and I perpetuate that cycle.
Oh boy. So some stress eating and then some over-exercising and then injury. And that's not good. So,
you know, it's occurring to me that since Jeff has no, you know, thoughts, no internal life, he's actually really easy to deal with. He's kind of, it's all on the surface. It's right there, like that fucking mustache.
Can I tell you something that's happening right?
Yeah.
Can I tell you something that's happening right now?
Yes.
My wife, if that part is edited into the podcast, Alec Lev needs to know that my wife is actually starting to not like Alec and Joel because she thinks they say mean things about me. Mm. So you two better be careful. Because Christy, who's my staunch defender, says to me all the time, with truth, she says, they're being too mean for a podcast that is basically about you and your dreams, and they're ripping it apart. So isn't that interesting, Karen?
That is very interesting. That is. That is.
It turns out these two guys are pieces of shit.
So she's got your back.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so let's see how this podcast goes from now on. If I'm Robin Givens all of a sudden, and all I'm saying is, yeah, Jeff, it's great. Yeah. That's what I'm going to do for the rest of this episode. I'm going to be in full agreement.
Okay, go ahead.
No. She does. She's not worried about your disagreements. She doesn't like the way that you treat me personally.
Oh, I'm going to be so nice to you. How about that? Nice to you. See what happens.
Analyze our relationship, Karen, me and Alex.
I think which episode was it a few weeks back that talking about drinking, right, Alex, that you don't.
Yeah, that Alex is a freak and he doesn't drink.
Jeff, I love you.
Don't patronize me.
I'm sorry. Hold on. Did you feel like I really am sorry, Jeff? I did not mean to patronize you.
My God, you're a shallow. Look at you. You're disgusting right now. You go back to being you or else I will punch you through this camera.
Oh, my God. That was the worst 30 seconds of my life. God,
that was disgusting. Okay. Don't ever do that again, you freak.
Hey, Christy, how you doing?
Yeah, it is weird, Karen, that he doesn't drink. Go on. What were you about to say about that?
Not go on like a roller coaster or something.
Yeah, he doesn't like when his tummy gets hurt.
Yeah.
Right. So fear of letting go of control. Is that part of what that's about for you?
I wouldn't be afraid of losing control if it weren't for the fact that when I do lose control, everything falls apart.
Hey, Alec, have you been to a shrink?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. We've all been to shrinks, right? Doug, have you been to a shrink? Yeah. No, whatever. Don't include Doug. Shut your camera off, Doug. God, look at him. Karen, do you think everybody should go and see a therapist?
I do. I mean, I'm all about like normalizing mental health and mental wellness. And, you know, I see a ton of kids. I see a lot of teenagers as well, all ages, all adults, you know, you name it. And if everybody could just have a space, like a safe space to be able to talk about anything without judgment, and that when we can look at it, just like physical health, emotional well-being is the same thing as physical health. We'd all be in a much better place. Our society would be in a much better place. So totally, I think it's a good thing. And just make it like a regular deal. Just like, and with telehealth now, we can do it anywhere, anytime, in the middle of a shoot, in the middle of, you know, it doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing. So yes, I do think so.
That's amazing. And also the fact that you are, like, there was this slight fear that you might not be normal. And that we were like, oh my God, this could be really bad. And this has been fantastic. Like this, I think, even a little therapeutic for me and Alec. I got to see right then and there that I don't want Alec to change. I need him to be who he is. That's my friend. I don't want my friend to change. Yeah. And I learned that I've got my anxiety, but you told me that it's okay. I'm not going to go to Tom Cruise's house and accidentally burn it down, but instead I might actually just be normal with him. I mean, I think I'm a big crier, Karen, so there's a good chance I might cry. Like, I'm a big crier.
That's okay.
I just want to leave with this question, Karen. Thank you for your time, first of all. You've been wonderful, although disappointing. when we meet Tom Cruise, just as a backup, should we have a straitjacket on hand?
I think he will be okay. I think he's going to be okay.
That wasn't definitive, Jeff, so I'm going to bring it. That wasn't a hard no.
This is, sorry, one thing has come up, Jeff, that I am curious about, and I want a real answer.
Sure.
Do you think you're going to meet Tom Cruise?
Yes. I do. I think I'll meet. Yeah. I think I'm so now into the idea of doing this podcast, and I've talked about this many times, that I've stopped thinking about meeting Cruise himself because I'm so excited to meet other people that have met Cruise. So actually, in this strange way, I've stopped thinking about actually meeting the man himself for a period of time. And I have had moments in my life, multiple moments in my life, where I've obsessed over something and I've seen all these signs that have led me someplace. And that came to fruition. So I really am dead serious about interviewing Tom Cruise in space because I keep talking about it. And I'm thinking, like, he is going to space and I kind of want this to happen. So I guess, yes, I do. But I always have fear. And I know you do too, Alec. Mm-hmm. Like, we both live in certain fears, you know. So it's like, I definitely fear not meeting him, but I don't know. But that now, right now, I feel my confidence growing after that question. So yes, I absolutely do believe that I'll meet him.
You're not going to. But that was a great,
That was great, Karen.
And now I'll start to cry.
I'm excited for the day when that happens, and I believe you're going to meet him too. I really, really do. I can't wait to hear that episode.
Ugh, this was good. This was, dare I say, therapeutic.
I'll send you my bill.
And here we are coming to the end of another mostly gibberish episode of Meeting Tom Cruise.
Mostly.
And guys, I got a question for you just as we wrap this up here. You know, May 13th, Top Gun Day. May 13th.
Oh, yeah.
Top Gun Day. My question is, how do you think we should celebrate as a society, as a people, Top Gun Day?
Real quick, why is it Top Gun Day?
You know, I looked this up and then I stopped caring while I was searching, so I stopped. It had something to do with the release date, but actually the release date was wrong. The release date was actually like May 16th.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So they got the day wrong.
Look at me. I'm doing this. But Tom Cruise has supported this. He tweeted about it.
Yeah, he approved it.
So how do you celebrate Top Gun Day?
Top Gun Day? It's very simple. You make love in a blue filter.
All right, then. Meeting Tom Cruise is hosted by Jeff Meacham, Joel Johnstone, and me, Alec Lev. It's also produced by the same Alec Lev.
You just you take a blue filter, you put it over the camera of you recording you and your special someone making love, and you slowly inject your tongue, open your mouth real wide, inject your tongue in a very awkward way, and that's what you do to celebrate.
Our executive producers are Doug Matica and Dan Patrick. Our engineer and mixer is Alex Reeves for Point of Blue Studios.
I think you take your favorite pair of jeans, you cut them off.
Go on.
A little bit higher than you normally would cut them off. You throw them on.
Okay.
Take off every other article of clothing. Lather yourself in baby oil. Go out to the beach. Get your six best guy friends. Lather each other up in some baby oil. And you fucking play some volleyball.
Editing by Alec Lev. With additional editing by Alex Reeves.
Joel, let's just make sure we get this right. You actually don't go to the beach. You just go to the local JCC volleyball court next to a parking lot.
In a parking lot. Throw some sand onto the pavement.
You get it on.
I feel like you got to kill your best friend.
There it is. You got to kill your best friend accidentally. Like, involuntary manslaughter is your charge.
Our music is by H. Scott Salinas and Matthew Atticus Berger.
But whatever it is, it has to be questionable. Like, he died from that? like you push him down a flight of four stairs and he dies and you're like, whoa, okay, he died from that.
Artwork by Rebecca Montoya.
You write some checks your ego can't cash.
Oh! Executive produced by Paul Anderson and Nick Pinella for Workhouse Media.
Get on a motorcycle.
There it is.
Even if you don't know how to drive one.
Exactly.
You just go, and if you see a plane, I don't even care if it's a military plane. You give it a fist pump.
We are a production of Meeting So-and-So in association with Workhouse Media. Find us online at Meeting Cruise on Instagram and Twitter. Check out our website and show notes at meetingtomcruise.com. And you can email us at contact@meetingtomcruise.com. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts, please give us a rating. 5 stars are much appreciated. And write a review. It really helps people to find the show, and we just might read it on the air. Meeting Tom Cruise was created by Jeff Meacham and Alec Lev.
Also, you know what else you do? Just to anybody exhibiting authority, you challenge it.
Meeting Tom Cruise is a production of the Dan Patrick Podcast Network and iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This podcast will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
Hey, this is Alex, and they forgot to put a stupid sound effect here.